ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిహి ఓం. పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతా నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినా మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీమష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసందదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం. నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దోక్తా గోపాలనందనః పార్థో వత్ససుధీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుతం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథ జలా గాంధార నీలోత్పలా శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకులా అశ్వత్థామ వికర్ణ ఘోరమకరా దుర్యోధనావర్థిని సోత్తీర్ణా కలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవచ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థ గంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకే సజ్జన షట్పదైరహరహ పేపీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజం కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుతస్తున్వంతి దివ్యైస్తవైః వేదై సాంగపదక్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సామగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినః యస్యాంతం న విదుసురాసురగణా దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. శ్రీకృష్ణార్పణమస్తు. చాప్టర్ 6 శ్లోక 33. అర్జున ఉవాచ యోయం యోగస్త్వయా ప్రోక్తః సామ్యేన మధుసూదన ఏతస్యాహం న పశ్యామి చంచలత్వా స్థితిం స్థిరాం. వి బ్రీఫ్లీ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ దిస్ శ్లోక ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ వెబినార్. హియర్ అర్జున హీ ఆస్క్స్ ఎ క్వశ్చన్. హీ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ అన్ ఆబ్స్టకల్ టు యోగ. యోగ ప్రతిబంధ. హీ ఈస్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ అన్ ఆబ్స్టకల్ and Krishna is going to give a solution also to this pratibandha, to this obstacle. And what is the obstacle? Arjuna says, yaha ayam yoyaha tvaya proktaha. You have talked about this yoga, a yoga which is nothing but samadarshana, the equanimity of outlook towards everything in creation, samadarshanam. So dama samadarshana lakshanaha yogaha samyena, so samadarshana rupena. So that is what you have taught so far. And Arjuna's complaint is this, because you have clearly said that the sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram, they are all anatma. They are not atma. And chaitanyam alone is atma. And all these differences are only at the anatma level. And there is no difference at all in the atma level. But the problem is what? This wisdom is, it enters my heart, no problem at all. It enters my head when I am listening to you. When I am listening to you, this is, I am able to hear this. This wisdom enters into my head. But what happens is, this wisdom does not stay in my buddhi. The moment I leave this place, it does not stay in my buddhi anymore. Therefore, he says, Yetasya sthiram sthitim na pashyami. I don't find the steady continuation, sthiram sthityam, of this wisdom. Which means what? The moment I get out of the class, I forget this. And what is the cause for this? That also Krishna, Arjuna has diagnosed. He only does not know the solution. What is the cause? Chanchalatva. Because of the unsteady nature of my mind. Because the vacillating mind, the vikshepa of the mind, because of this vikshepa, I am not able to have the sajatiya vritti. Sajatiya pratyaya pravaha. We already talked about sajatiya vritti and vijatiya vritti. I am not able to entertain this Atma Vritti, thoughts centered on Atma alone all the time. I am not able to entertain them. It is often disturbed by Anatma Vritti, thoughts relating to the Anatma, the body. So the obstacle is what? Vikshepa. Chanchalyam is the same as Vikshepa. Chanchalam, Chanchalyam. So Yoga Pratibandha, the obstacle to yoga is Vikshepa, this Chanchalam, this vacillation, which is introduced by Arjuna in this shloka. And Arjuna's complaint is what? I lost sight of your teaching. Whatever you have been teaching, I lost sight of them when I am in Vyavahara of the world. When I am dealing with the practical day-to-day life of the world, I lose track of your teaching and I get engrossed into this Vikshepa, into this Chanchalam, in this vacillation of my mind. Shloka 34. Chanchalam himana krishna pramati bala badhritam tasyaham nigraham manye vayorivasu dushkaram. And Arjuna says that I have tried to control my mind, but I find it extremely difficult. I have taken many steps to control my mind, but I find it very difficult. So now I have become desperate. I don't know a way by which I can control my mind. Now Arjuna is a person now who has understood the cause for his disease, but he does not know the remedy for the disease, the medicine for his disease. So he says, O Krishna, manaha hi chanchalam. The mind, manaha, is indeed very restless. It is vacillating, it is restless. Chanchalam means adishayena chalati iti chanchalam. Adishayena chalati. Ever unsteady. It is ever fluctuating. Not only that, it is pramati. Pramati, it is turbulent. Literally, pramati actually refers to not only it is disturbed, it disturbs other sense organs also. Like the body and the sense organs, it disturbs all of them. It is like a churner. Little meaning for pramati is a churner or a turner. Actually, this word we have already seen earlier in second chapter, where we have seen what? Indriyani pramatini haranti prasabam manaha. We have seen that line in chapter 2 towards the end in the Sthira Prajna portion. While talking about sense control, Krishna spoke about it. There we saw the meaning as what? Mat means to churn. Mat pramati. Mat means to churn. And mati, the one that churns, that which that churns, that turns. And pramati is the one that which that churns violently, aggressively, that agitates. So when the curd, for example, yogurt or curd, when it is churned by the mati, not only the mati turns, but also it causes lot of turbulence in the yogurt, in the curd also. Similarly, when the mind is chanchalam, and because of the chanchalatvam of the mind, because of the vacillating nature of the mind, the sense organs are also fluctuating. The sense organs also are fluctuating. I am not able to see a thing constantly. Suddenly, the eyes go somewhere, ears go somewhere, because mind is not steady. I am not able to hear the talk at all constantly, because along with the mind, my ears also turn elsewhere. Actually, we can see many people, even during a conversation with them, with one person, their eyes will wander. The turbulent sense organs will affect the body to be churned. Either they will adjust their buttons of the shirt. People might do that. You know, they will nod their head. They can make some noise with their hand. You know, they can do all, wave their legs. They can do all those. They bite nails. All these things are because of the churning of the mind. Can I stop it? Arjuna says, it is balavat. It is very strong. It is very difficult for me to stop. The physical body can be stopped. You can be closed in a room. It can be perhaps chained also. But the mind is so powerful that it cannot be stopped at all. It cannot be controlled that easily at all. Not only that, it is dridam. It is very firm. It is in its own course of thinking also. It is not a guided thinking. It is in its own course of thinking. Actually, the Acharya Madhusudana Saraswati, he writes, Drida Vasanayayutam. That's what he writes. And Shankaracharya, he gives an example. Tantu Nagavate. He gives an example for such a mind as Tantu Nagavate. There is a thin type of a snake, it seems, which is a water snake, I guess. whenever it coils around the leg or hand of a person. However much a person tries to pull it, it never comes away. It stays attached like a leech. It's so much, very strongly bound. So once the mind is stuck to a worry, it is very, very difficult to give it up. Whatever has happened, but mind will not accept it. It will go on worrying about it more and more. They will not be able to leave it at all, even for years for some people. Why? Because of Drida Vasanayayuta. Because of the strong binding to that. It is powerful and it is steady in its own course of thinking. That is how the mind acts. And that being the condition of the mind, what do I think? Tasya nigraham sudushkaram manye. I think the control of that mind is dushkaram, is extremely difficult. Already it is strong. It has also habituated to think negatively now. So it is also wavering. So by the time I catch one direction, it slips to another. Because it vacillates all the time like a mayavi rakshasa. You know, mayavi rakshasa, these people, they change their position, they change their form from place to place. They all do that. It is very difficult to handle them because they change all the time. Similarly, mind seems to be a terrific power against a spiritual seeker. So, nigraham tasya aham sudushkaram manye. Dushkaram means difficult. And sudushkaram means very difficult. It is very difficult, I find. And he gives an example here. What is the example? Vayoho iva. Like the control of air. If a person is doing something in a room, for example, this is normally this happens with people who are habituated to smoking. When they don't want others to know that they are smoking. So they will try to cover it by closing the door. Actually, they are really fools. However much they try to, you know, close the door, covering the door, smell will come somehow because the air cannot be stopped that easily. It will find some way to get out. As the vayu cannot be stopped, the air cannot be stopped, it will always escape in some way or the other. Similarly, the mind is also very difficult to be controlled. And Shankaracharya says, in fact, it is not like vayoho iva. It should be vayoho api, vayo or api. It is not difficult like vayu. It is more difficult than even the control of vayu. That's what Shankaracharya says. So vayoho api sudushkara. So the yoga pradibandha of Vikshepa, that has been introduced by Arjuna here. And Krishna now has to give a solution how to control such a mind. So Krishna is answering Shloka 35. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Asam Shayam Mahabhavo Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Kaunteya Vairagena Chagrihyate. Now Krishna gives the solution here. Before giving the solution, first Krishna accepts Arjuna's statement, whatever he said, as an universal fact that the mind is very powerful, it is uncontrollable. That is an universal fact. Arjuna, don't think that it is your own problem. It is for all the people. That is why, you know, it is said in the Kathopanishad, Paranchikani Vitrina Swayambhu Tasmatam Parang Pashyati Nantaratman. It is always outward. It is extrovert all the time. And because of that nature, it doesn't look it inward at all. This problem is given by the Lord Himself. It is the universal problem by making the sense organs extrovert. Since the sense organs are extrovert, constantly external things, they are bound to enter because the sense organs are extrovert. It is an universal problem. This is very, very important because it will give a very, very big consolation to Arjuna. Because Arjuna now knows that he is not alone. Right? I am not alone. The moment the electricity goes in our house, what do? We want to see whether the neighbor's electricity also has gone or not. I am not alone. That gives me a satisfaction. And the second reason also is a person will not feel guilty or diffident of himself. That is another reason also. So once we know it is an universal problem, it is a natural problem, and fighting requires a lot of effort. If somebody has to fight this problem and to find a solution, it takes a lot of effort. So a casual approach will not work. So I can first comprehend that a casual approach will not work. That is why Shankaracharya gives an example in the Katha Upanishad commentary. He says, it is like stopping a river from flowing towards the downward plains. A river that flows towards the downward plane, how difficult it is to stop. It is as difficult. I have to work against the natural gravity. It's a very, very difficult job. Similarly, the mind's nature is this. To stop it will require tremendous effort. So the first step is in finding a solution to any problem is what? Is to know the intensity of the problem. Any disease, medication, whatever you want to administer, one has to know the intensity of the problem, that our mind is turbulent. It's not an ordinary problem at all. It is a great problem. I should be aware of this problem all the moment. And that is the caution. So Krishna says, Arjuna, manaha durnigraham. Mind is difficult to be controlled. It is a fact. And it is chanchalam. It is always restless. Asamshayam. There is no doubt about it at all. So what you ask is correct. Mind is always chanchalam. Restless. So, somebody is cool. Somebody's speakerphone was off. So, I just turned them off. So, it is asamshayam. There is no doubt about it at all. It is an universal fact. So, controlling requires a very long and perseverant effort. It is not easy. In fact, for that matter, actually, even body control requires such an effort. Even that is not easy. Gymnastics, etc. For example, you look at the gymnastics in the Olympic Games. How they control the body. Is it achieved in 1 or 2 days? No. Right from the second and third year of age, before even the body and the bones become firmly set, they give the training. We see only the final product at the Olympics. We never see the years of struggle that went behind that person when he has undergone, she has undergone such a great effort to achieve such a talent. So when the control of the physical body itself requires such great effort, what to talk about the control of the mind? Very, very difficult. And so effort is extremely important. And Krishna gives here 2 methods for the control of the mind. They are not optional methods. They both have to be followed together. So one should not think either this or that. Both have to be followed together. And what are those 2 methods he gives? Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. Abhyasena. Abhyasena means by practice. And vairagyena, by detachment, grihyate, the mind can be controlled. Mind can be caught under control only by these 2 methods. And what is the logic behind it? Whenever the mind runs towards any external object, it is only because of what? It is because of raga and dvesha only. If it is raga, attachment, we run towards them. If it is dvesha, dislike, then we run away from them. So it is negative or positive thinking alone is responsible for that. For example, if you take Vidura and Kamsa, both never forgot Krishna at all. Both had Krishna all the time in their mind. Vidura had Krishna in mind because of what? Because of love and attachment. He never forgot Krishna. And Kamsa, again he thought about Krishna all the time because of hatred, dvesha. So first attachment should be removed. And we should understand that very clearly. For example, in a family, if someone is sick, are suffering, then should I then say I should be detached there? No. One should not say I will not get involved. We never mean that kind of a detachment. Whenever there is a problem, when a problem comes, in whatever way I have to tackle that, I should. That is duty, I should do that. But carrying the problem at other moments comes because of attachment. That we should avoid. That has to be stopped. By solving the problem or working to solve it, it is not attachment. It is efficiency actually. A detached mind never carries the problem forward. It will say, I have called the doctor, I have given the medicine, and the doctor says, we will see the result only after 2 days, and that's it. Wait for 2 days. If something goes drastically wrong, then you have to seek the doctor again. But otherwise, we have to wait for the advice. I will not keep dwelling and worrying about it afterwards. So caring for somebody is good, but worrying is a problem. That's what's being cautioned here. So vairagyam is freedom from carrying the worries, dwelling upon or worrying over a problem that should not be there at all. That is vairagya. So this must be first understood intellectually. I must be convinced that worrying about a problem will not solve the problem at all. I have to find a solution. So many people think normally that worry shows love. No, that is a misconception. Worry does not show love. I should be convinced that love does not mean mere worry. So intellectually, I should have a policy that I will not worry at all. I will not get angry. I will not be attached. All those things intellectually, I should be convinced first. So in principle, I should agree that that is called vairagya. Thereafter, even in principle, I have decided not to worry. In spite of it, worry continues. Okay, in principle, I have said to myself, I will not worry. But what happens? In spite of it, worry continues. So vairagyam is one part, which is nothing but avoiding anatma vritti. Anatma vritti means thought centered on the body, anatma. And the second part is abhyasa, entertaining atma vritti. So one has to first try to remove anatma vritti, thought centered on anatma, the body. And one should entertain atma vritti, thoughts centered on the atma. So how I am the self behind all these changing body, mind, objects. I am the changeless self, asangaha, nityaha. That thought should be entertained all the time. So Shankaracharya, he defines abhyasa as kasyanchit chitta bhumau samanakara vrittihi. That is how he defines. Kasyanchit chitta bhumau, in a particular object, entertaining similar thoughts only. Here the object is what? Atma. So Atma Vishaye Samanakara Vrittihi. So which alone we saw as Sajatiya Vritti earlier. So with respect to Chaitanya, with respect to Atma, my thought should be centered only around that, should not be centered around the Anatma Vritti at all. So because here the Yoga Abhyasa that is talked about is what? Is to a Vedantic student. Krishna is talking about this abhyasa to a Vedantic student. He knows that I am the sthula sukshma karana sharirat vitiraktaha. The Vedanta student knows. I am different from the gross body, the subtle body, the causal body. Avastatraya sakshi. I am only the witness of the three states of consciousness. Jagra, swapna and sushupti. Pancha kosha vilakshanaha. I am different from the pancha koshas. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha and Anandamaya Kosha. I am different from all of them. His problem is not of knowledge, but one of forgetfulness. For the Vedantic student, he knows this fact, but it is one of forgetfulness. He forgets it while transacting day-to-day affairs in the practical world. But if he wants to control the mind before Vedanta, before coming to Vedanta, if one wants to control the mind, then it cannot be Atmakara Vrittihi, it will be Ishta Devata Kara Vrittihi. He should center his thoughts towards any Ishta Devata. It could be Rama, Krishna, Mahaganapati, it could be any God. He can center the thoughts towards that God, Ishta Devata, and then try to control the mind, focus the mind. So every negative thought, when it arises in the mind, can be replaced with the positive thoughts. These are all Yoga Abhyasa before Vedanta Shravanam. Before coming to Vedanta, if one wants to do Abhyasa, then one can try to practice it through these means. So Krishna says, Vairagyena and Abhyasena. Through Vairagya and also through Abhyasa, one has to practice this. And this is extremely popular in Yoga Shastra. And in Yoga Sutra, it is said, Abhyasa Vairagyabhyam Chitta Nirodaha. That is how this mind is controlled, this mind is focused. And the very word abhyasa itself implies, what does it mean when you say abhyasa, practice? It implies long time, perseverant and long consistent. So practice means a question of consistent and long time practice. It cannot be just one day, half an hour. That kind of a practice, it cannot be. For example, if you take North India, when people want to teach music to a child, they ask the child to recite this itself for so long a time till they are able to have a beautiful control, very modulated voice till that time for months. Then all the swaras, then the jantavarishai, the tatavarishai, all those things, you know, swarajati, varna, all those things they practice for a lot of time so that the hang of music would become part of them. So it's a tremendous abhyasa, consistency and time, that is what is required. That is what Krishna says here, that thought control should become part of one's life. Not to be practiced like 15 minutes in a day, I will meditate for 15 minutes in a day, then I will be able to have mind control, doesn't work. But it should be done every moment. Irritation is coming, I should be patient. Anger might come, I should be patient. Every moment, I should be alert. Whenever a negative thought comes, I should put a brake, speed breaker there and focus the mind and turn it away from such thoughts. There is no other shortcut at all. Shloka 36. Asam yatatmana yogo dushprapayiti me matihi vashyatmana tu yatata shakyo vaptumu payataha. Here Krishna makes it very, very clear. Without mind control, yoga, you know, which means samyak darshanam or samatva buddhi, is never possible. Without abhyasa, without yoga, without mind control, that is not possible. Here yoga means samyak darshana lakshanaha yoga. Sarvatra samatva buddhihi, which we have been telling all the time, the equanimity of outlook towards everything in creation. Or yoga can even mean here nididhyasanam also, because this is chapter 6, it could be nididhyasanam also. So nididhyasanam also is not possible unless a person has control of mind. Unless mind control is there, nididhyasanam is not possible. So this yoga is dushprapaha, cannot be accomplished at all. By whom? Asamyatatmana, by a person whose mind is not under control. Here Atma means mind, not Sachidananda Atma. Atma means mind. So Samyatam means control. Asamyatam means not control. So Samyak na yataha niyataha Atma. So Antakarnam is here. So in short, the one who does not have Samadhi, Samadhi Shatka Sampattihi. You know, Shamadama, Uparamati Diksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam, all those things we talked about earlier. If a person doesn't have any of those, or a person who is not a Uttama Adhikari. If a person has all these, then he is an Uttama Adhikari, an eligible person. Here he is not. For such a person, this is not possible at all. And for this, we get a corollary also here. If a person has Shamadhi, Shatka, Sampatti, all these sixfold qualities, for him, Shravanam itself is enough. When he is having such a controlled sense organs and mind and all those, for him, even Shravanam alone is, Vedanta Shravanam alone is adequate. He doesn't have to go even for Vedanta Mananam Nididhyasanam steps even. One does not have to do that, because for this person, even Shravanam alone is adequate for him. So that is what is said here. I don't know why the picture has gone. Yeah. So he need not practice Nididhyasanam even. So Nididhyasanam becomes necessary only when Samadhi Shakta Sampatti is lacking. All those gunas, Atma gunas, they are lacking. So by a person who does not have control of mind, a controlled mind, yoga is difficult to be achieved. So iti me matihi, this is my opinion. Krishna says, O Arjuna, this is my opinion. For a person who has not controlled his mind, it is very, very difficult for him to achieve this. So if it is Krishna's opinion, then it is unquestionable and it is a proper opinion. Actually, it's a verdict. It is a teaching. So Krishna himself says it is his opinion. On the other hand, Vashyatmana tu shakyaha avaptum. We have to supply yogaha here. So Vashyatmana yogaha avaptum shakyaha. That is how we have to rearrange it. So yogaha. Yogaha means nididhyasanam or samyak darshanam. Either that, nididhyasanam or samyak darshanam, can be accomplished by a person who has got control of the mind. And here also Atma, Atma refers to mind only and not Satchidananda Atma, one has to be careful. And Vashya, Vashya means under control, the mind under control. So Vashyaha Atma Antakaranam Vashya, one has to understand that way. So by a person who has got control of the mind, yoga can be accomplished. When? Yatatha, if he puts forth proper effort. Yatatha means, refers to proper effort. Yatatha means yatnam kurva. Yatna means prayatnam. Prayatnam kurvata. So one who has, who strives, a person who practices, who strives. So the idea is, before Vedanta Shravanam, he would have practiced thought control. Person might have practiced thought control, but thought control at that time was directed towards what? Towards a Saguna Ishvara, to a Rama, to a Krishna, or Mahaganapati, or Shiva, Mahavishnu, or Saguna Ishvara. Now his only effort is what? Thought control is not needed. Thought control is already done. Only he has to shift from Saguna Ishvara to Nirguna Atma. That is all he has to do. Already he has known how to control his thoughts, how to channelize his thoughts. He already has practiced it. Now he has to only strive to change the direction of those thoughts from Saguna Ishvara to Nirguna Atma. So the thought control aspect is already there. Only shifting the object is to be done. It is like a tennis player. For example, initially, the player plays with whom? With the coach. He plays with the coach. He plays a lot of rounds around with him. So for example, once he goes to Wimbledon match, the same game is played, practice with the coach. Whatever he practices with the coach, he is now practicing with an opponent. That's what he is doing. Instead of the coach, it is replaced by an opponent, another person. Similarly, previously the coach was Saguna Ishvara for him. For channelizing his thoughts, he practiced with the Saguna Ishvara. Now, thought direction is already done. When he comes to Vedanta, Vedanta Shravanam, that is replaced by Aham Brahmasmi. So that is all the difference that was made. When thoughts are already channelized, only the direction is changed. So that is all the difference. So by a person who has control over the mind, who strives very hard, Yogaha Sakyam Avaptum. And how does he control the mind now? Again, we have to look at the thing. He reminds once again, Upayataha. Upayataha means the one who has controlled the mind by proper method, Yogaha, that can be accomplished. That methodology is there for anything. What is the methodology again? Krishna has given. He has already said in the previous sloka, Abhyasa and Vairagya. These are the only two methods. So the upaya in this shloka refers to abhyasa and vairagya. When he says upayataha, it refers to both abhyasa and vairagya, which was discussed in the previous shloka. So Madhusudana Saraswati, he says, it is like the ankusham, you know, to control an elephant. They have this device called ankusham for the elephant. It's a very sharp instrument. So in scriptures, they always compare our mind to a mad elephant. Sometimes they compare it with a mad monkey. Sometimes they compare it with the mad elephant. Even that mad elephant can be controlled by the Mahout if he has got this Ankusha with him. So with the help of the Ankusha, that poet, the Mahout can control even a mad elephant. Similarly, the most rutty mind, the most vacillating mind, unstable mind, can be controlled by the Ankusha of Abhyasa and Vairagya. So these are the two sharp instruments one can deploy to control one's mind from Vikshepa. Now Arjuna is coming up with more questions. Sloka 37. Arjuna vacha ayati shraddayo peto yoga chalita manasaha aprapya yoga samsiddham kam gatim krishna gacchati. Arjuna has got now another doubt. So with the previous sloka, the other topic was over. What was the topic? Yoga pradibandha, the obstacle to yoga and its nivarana, how to get rid of it. Krishna has given the solution also. So the obstacle to yoga was what? And how to remove the obstacle. And the pradibandha obstacle was what? Restlessness, vikshepa, the chanchalatvam of the mind. That was the problem. And the method of removal was abhyasa and vairagya, solution. Now comes the final topic of this chapter. From this shloka onwards, Arjuna is raising now another question, very important question. How does this question come about? Even though Krishna has given tremendous confidence to Arjuna in spite of it, Arjuna is still diffident. His confidence has not come back fully to him. He is still diffident. So, if a person wants to remain diffident, even Bhagavan cannot help him. So, unless I try to get out of my diffidence, Bhagavan even cannot help me. So, Arjuna feels that mind control is impossible. That is his state of mind now. He thinks controlling the mind is impossible. So, he says, I will not get jnana nishtha at all. Then I will not become a jivan muktaha. That is Arjuna's worry. Because of this mind control, if it is not there, I cannot become jnana nishtha, I cannot become a jivan mukta, I cannot get moksha. But Krishna said it is possible in the last shloka. So Arjuna must be happy. But unfortunately, Arjuna doubts the possibility of mukti in this janma. That is his problem now. In this janma, in this birth itself, can I get moksha at all or not? So it shows lack of self-confidence, faith, lack of faith in oneself, like all of us. For example, many times we go to astrology, we go to palmistry, we go to numerology, we change our name. For example, my name is Subramanian. Now people say, okay, instead of having the I, if I replace with Y, it is going to give me a lot of benefits, so I become Subramanian, Y-A-N. People do all these things. They have more confidence in that unknown English letter than on oneself. So many times all these things happen. So keeping the Lord Narayana himself in front. For Arjuna, Lord Narayana himself stands in his front. Arjuna does not have faith in himself. So if that is the stage with respect to Arjuna, think of all of us. Unless we have that self-confidence in us, it is very difficult to project ourselves forward. So imagine what Krishna would have felt in spite of his own being present in front of Arjuna. Arjuna doesn't have confidence. Suppose a person does not get moksha. Tell me, what will happen in the next janma to such a person? That is Arjuna's question. Ayatihi. Ayatihi means, O Krishna, suppose there is a person who could not put the fullest effort necessary for gaining moksha. In this janma I tried. I did Vedanta, Shravanam, Mananam, all that I did. But still, I did not get moksha. So here, Ayatihi, A stands Alpa, A in front of Yatihi means Alpa. Alpa ityartha. Ayatihi means Alpa Yatihi. Alpa Yatihi means Alpa Prayatnam Yaha Karoti. The one who has done only that much prayatnam, that much effort, that he could not get moksha in this janma at all. He worked, but that was not adequate to gain moksha. So he is not like the another person who does not strive at all. There are other people who never work for moksha at all. But this person worked for it, but he did not succeed. Before he gained moksha, prarabdha ended, he died. So what is the lot of such a person? But there are other people who don't want moksha at all even. For them, better next janma is fine. I do lot of punya karmas now. I am assured of a next good janma. That is fine. I am happy with that. So with them, there is no question at all. Suppose a person comes to Vedanta, but not able to travel till the end. Person, he comes to Vedanta, but not able to travel till the end. For such a person, what will be his lot? That is the question here. That's what Arjuna is asking. Ayatihi. But one thing, he is Shraddhaya Upetaha. He has got faith in Vedanta. This person has got faith in Vedanta. He pursued Vedanta, not without faith, with faith only, but with the faith that Vedanta will liberate me. He went through that. He was a sincere seeker. And suppose, Yoga Chalita Matma, Chagalitam Chalita Manasaha, if he falls off from Yoga Marga, he wanted to pursue that, but he falls off from that is in Nididhyasanam. He could not carry on with Nididhyasanam till he got Jnana Nishtha. Till he gets to the final destination, he could not continue. His mind got out of yoga, so Nididhyasanam or Atma Jnanam, suppose he gets strayed away, he becomes a Yoga Brashtaha, a sincere attempter who did not succeed. He is called Yoga Brashtaha, who could not succeed. The one who attempted without success, Yoga Brashtaha. Naturally, what is going to happen to such a person? Aprapya Yoga Samsiddham. He will not attain success in yoga. The goal of yoga, which is nothing but Jivan Mukti or Moksha. He will not get it. So yoga samsiddhi or Jivan Mukti or Moksha, aprapya, he will not attain. Such a person will not get. He received the knowledge, okay, but he did not assimilate it. He did Shravanam, received the knowledge, but he did not assimilate it. Then Arjuna asks, Kam Gati Gachati. What will be his destination after death? That is his question. To what destination he will go after death? In short, what is the lot of Yoga Prashta? Of an Yoga Prashta? That is Arjuna's question. And he continues, Shloka 38. Kachinno bhava brishtaha bhaya vibrashtaha chinna brahmiva nashyati apratishto mahabaho vimudo brahmanapati. Now Arjuna is expressing his fear. He says, according to me, it looks that Yoga Brashta will have a very bad future. He made a conclusion. According to me, Yoga Brashta will have a very bad future. It is not going to be true actually, but it is Arjuna's fear. Arjuna is concerned. And he gives also the reason. And why he is afraid, he gives the reason. He says, when he practiced, he came to yoga, he was committing himself to Shravanam, Mananam, all the things, no problem. That means he was not committing as much time for the other things, like what? Pujas, rituals, bhakti, going to temples, doing lot of yajnas. He didn't do any of those. He was spending time only doing Shravanam, Mananam, all those things. He was attending classes, that's what he was doing. Normally, the puja, japa, etc., what they would do? They would give him lot of punya. He will get lot of punyam by doing all of them. Now that he left them and he came to Vedanta, so that punya which would have, we would have got out of doing all those rituals, it was lost, hoping that by Vedanta Shravanam, I will get moksha. So he thought by Vedanta Shravanam, he will get moksha, left all those things. Now what happened? Vedanta Shravanam did not give him moksha because he became Yoga Prashta. And what about the punya palam also? It is also not there because he did not do any one of those karmas since he was all the time in Vedanta Shravanam Mananam only. So he did not engage himself in any bhakti marga or in any other pujas, rituals, yagas and all that. So as a sannyasi, it is even more true because he had already given up his nitya naimittika karmas also. When a person becomes a sannyasi, he leaves all his nitya karmas. All the Sandhyavandana karmas, everything he leaves. All the Naimiti karma he leaves. So he leaves all of them. So he neither got punyam, he neither got jnanam also. So what will be his lot? So punyam would have given him swargaloga perhaps. It is not possible now because he does not have punyam. Jnanam would have given him what? Jivan mukti, moksha. That is also not possible now. So what is the gati left out? Adogati only. The person cannot get into the gati, only adogati, that is Arjuna's fear. Will he not suffer in the next janma? So am I taking a big risk by attending to all these classes? By attending to Vedanta Shravanam, am I taking a big risk? Actually, now for this shloka, we will see the second line first. Brahmanaha pati vimudaha. Brahmanaha pati vimudaha. Suppose a person, vimudaha, he is confused, a deluded person. In this context, confused means what? Vibrashtaha, he is lost, person is lost. He could not sustain the interest in Vedanta. Remember, all the time, temptations from all directions are constantly there. However much one wants to do Vedanta Shravanam and focus his attention, all these other dimensions pull the person apart in so many directions, very difficult to focus. That is why there are stories about Jataparada and so many other people in Bhagavatam. After ruling the country for a long time, this person, this king, he renounces everything. That itself is very difficult. When there is poverty, renunciation is very simple. There is nothing to lose. You just renounce everything, there is nothing to renounce. Whereas this person, this king, he had all the comforts. He had children, he had palaces, wives, name, fame, everything he had. And he takes to sannyasa, goes for tapas, renouncing everything. That itself is very difficult. He goes to tapas. And he does tapas for a long time. That is very difficult to be consistent. to do tapas for a long time is very difficult. But after some time, some loneliness hits him, even for such a person. And he seeks for a companion, at least a pet. He saw a deer cub in the forest roaming around. He got attached to it. So all his meditation was on the deer only since then, ultimately. So he was reborn as a deer. This Jataparada, he was reborn as a deer. So temptations and weaknesses are always there. Even for such a person, they drag him apart. How about all other people like us in day-to-day life, where we are confronted with temptations only all the time, time and out. So temptations and weaknesses are always there, because rasavarjam rasopyasyam param drishtva nivartate. And so suppose a person gets out of this track. So brahmanaha patihi, patihi means margaha, the path. So brahmana margaha, brahma margaha, a person goes to that moksha marga or yoga marga. So that is sravana manana nidhyasana marga. Suppose he has fallen from that, he took to that marga but fallen from that, naturally what will happen to him? Apratishtaha. Pratishtaha means his ashrayaha, his support. Now apratishtaha means without any support for higher gati. There is no support for him to go towards higher gati, higher marga. So karma support is necessary for swarga gati. I want to do all good karmas. When I do good karmas, it gives me punyam. That will help me to get swarga lokas and all other punya lokas. Now karma pratishta is not there because he renounced all rituals. And jnana pratishta also is not there because he has fallen. So apratishtaha. Karma jnana pratishta rahitaha. Without the support of both. Therefore, ubhaya vibrashtaha. Ubhaya means both. He has fallen from both the gatis. Ubhaya means stands for the karmanam gatihi, swarga loka, etc. And jnanasya gatihi, mokshaha. So he is fallen from both. Both the destinations he does not achieve. So ubhaya vibrashtaha. So Arjuna asks the question, what will happen to him? O Mahabaho, Krishna, kachit na nasyati. Will he not perish? Kim na nasyati. Will he not perish? That is a question. Perish means adogatim prapunoti. For the such a person, not the physical destruction, it is a spiritual destruction. Will that person not suffer spiritual destruction? Will he not go down? And for this, Arjuna gives a beautiful example here, and that is chinna abram iva. Chinna abram, like the cloud. Cloudlet. Chinna abram means the cloudlet. You got a big massive cloud and there is a small cloudlet. Cloudlet. It breaks away from the big body of cloud. The main body of the cloud, it breaks away. So a part of the cloud breaks away and becomes a cloudlet. Now we have to see and experience this to understand this. If the separated cloud is too small, let us watch the cloud. This is a separated cloud. So it's too small. Because of the force of the wind, the cloudlet will get dissipated and will disappear soon. Because it's a cloudlet, the force of wind will destroy it. But when the cloud is very big patch, the wind cannot destroy it. On the other hand, the wind will only support it. It will move the cloud to a destination where it can rain. So this shloka is more actually for a sannyasi. In fact, Adi Shankaracharya, he gives that it is only for a sannyasi who is meant here. All the people in the society like us, we all follow karma marga, right? The grahastha ashrama, we do lot of karmas, rituals. Lot of people follow the beaten path, because that is the path which everybody has been following all the time. So when this big body of society moving together, one part, namely the sannyasi, he gets out of regular social path. He becomes a sannyasi like the cloudlet, which got separated from the main body of the cloud. So when the cloudlet was part of the big crowd, it had security, it had protection. When he was part of the society, he always had the protection of the society. Once the sannyasi came out, the cloudlet came out, it became weak, can be attacked very easily. The sannyasi can be attacked by any one of the distractions. There are so many distractions in the world, they all can distract him. Just as the cloudlet can be dissipated, this individual also, who has left the karma marga, who has not attained jnana, will he not perish? Therefore, chinna abram iva, like the broken off cloud, the cloudlet, will he not perish? Often these verses are quoted against sannyasa ashrama. People normally quote these verses, why to become a sannyasi? Sannyasa ashrama, all these risks are there, why become a sannyasi? That's how they normally quote this. So, fears in the field of Vedanta marga. People always take fear, you know, to approach Vedanta, they are afraid. Because I will not get punya, I will not get good janma, I will not get swarga moksha, then what will happen to me? That is the fear. That is Arjuna's fear also here. Shloka 39. Yetanme samshayam krishna chetunarhasya seshataha tvadanya samshayasyasya chetana hyupapadyate. O Krishna, you have to remove this doubt from my mind. Then only I will pursue yoga marga. So Arjuna has a very valid point. Otherwise, instead of becoming a Trishanku, you know, I don't go to moksha, I don't have swarga lokas, I become a Trishanku in the middle, it is better to be one of the normal member of the society. Like anybody else. I can be a normal member of the society, follow all the ritual practices. In fact, the first problem is what? The society will look at the sannyasi as abnormal. Always society looks at the sannyasi as abnormal person. So he says, Krishna, me yetat samshayam aseshataha chetum arhasi. You should remove this doubt of mine completely, aseshataha. That is, whether yoga brashta will get a lower gati, adogati or not, is my doubt. Chetum arhasi, you should destroy, clarify, aseshataha, completely. Why I say so? Because my very beginning of yoga marga is based on what? Based on the clarification of this doubt only. So whether I should take the yoga marga or continue as I am is dependent on the crucial answer to this question by you. And so I am particular about knowing the answer. Asheshataha chetum argasi. Not only that, I cannot ask this question to any other person also. Can Arjuna ask this question to anybody else? I cannot. In fact, you are the best person to answer this question. So Arjuna says, Asya samshayasya chetta tvadanyaha na upapadyate. There cannot be any other person whom you can destroy this doubt completely. Why? Because it is a question regarding what? After life, after death. What is going to happen after my death? After life question, who can answer? What will happen to an yoga brashta after this life? Will he be reborn as a lower janma or will he get to higher levels? This is the question regarding afterlife, and so no ordinary human being can answer this question. Whereas you happen to be the Lord himself. You are the karma pala data. You are the one who directs all jivas to various lokas based on their papa punyas. So you are the karma pala data. So punyavan and papi are sent to different destinations by you. You are the one who is responsible for that. So you give moksha to a jnani. So what will you do with the yoga prashta? So that question I can ask only to you. Because you are karma pala data. So karma adhyakshaha, I can ask this question to you only. Tvadanyaha asya samsayasya cheta na upapadyate. You are the best person to answer. Now the answer, Lord has to give the answer to this question, which he will start from the next shloka, shloka 40, which will start from the next class, next webinar. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwaraha. Shri Krishna arpanamastu. Narayana.